I've been preaching out of Titus. We're taking a break from that today, but Titus begins to emphasize in this, or Paul to Titus, the importance of good works. And he writes in 3:14, "Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not to be unfruitful." And I want to highlight that because the Lord impresses us that we as his children, we need to be about right doctrine, but we also need to be about good works, doing good. These are evidences that we are God's children. And this Sunday marks the beginning of us inviting local ministries that we're supporting to share and give updates. And Vicki will be sharing with us today about Hannah's Home, a ministry that we're involved with and supporting and very excited about. She has invited me in the past to do devotional talks to her staff, and it's always a blessing to be there. This is a vital ministry in our area, and I want to communicate this to us. We have been called a pro-life church for many years, and rightly so. But one of the accusations that I often hear against the church and Christians is this: you're against abortion. You're against that. But what do you do to help? I don't know if you've ever heard that accusation, but it's leveled against the church and Christians all the time. It's one thing for me to say I'm opposed to abortion, child killing, but we have to be creative and supportive in ministries through the churches on helping the women. And Hannah's Home, as you will find out, and is a home for unwed mothers and their children. It's a very viable ministry. And we're privileged to partner with them in the giving of finances and prayers. But I hope that it can be communicated today through my sister that there's also needs that they have that we as Christians can step up and help. So would you, along with me, welcome our sister Vicki to speak.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I think it was about 2 years ago that I was here, just under 2 years. At that point in time, I think I gave a really broad picture of the ministry as a whole and where we had been and where we were and our vision for where we were going. And so I'm excited to be back and help you see, you know, what we have done these last couple years and where we are now and where we're continuing to go. But as you kind of took my... You stole some of my words. But Hannah's Home is a group maternity home for women who are pregnant and in crisis. And what we do is we take them in. We house them 24/7. Our doors never close, holidays or anything. I'm actually on duty this weekend, so I had to call another staff member to pick up my moms to take them to church so that I could come here. So that's kind of what it looks like. We provide everything that these women need, from food, clothing, everything they need for their baby. We ensure they have proper prenatal care, education. We help them get jobs, you name it, the practical services. I even opened a daycare in 2020. So we're now providing daycare services while our moms are in school and work. So that's kind of the practical of what we do, and I could go on for about 7 hours if I had it, of what we do, but I think what the message that I want you to see, I'm going to show a video because our moms can explain our mission better than I can. And what I want you to listen for is it isn't just about providing these services. It's about providing lasting hope in Jesus and helping them see that this is what that is actually what they need most. And they, you know, how do we do that? We give them a meal and we explain, actually, this, you're going to get hungry again. And there's something greater that you need, that you will never get hungry. Okay. So that is the premise. We are a gospel-centered ministry. We are teaching 24/7 that that is the greater purpose for why they're with us. So I hope that you hear that hope. Okay. Because I think, in these times, you mentioned being pro-life, and we are a pro-life organization at our core. However, we are not just a social service agency. And so I think, you know, when you get into that kind of political arena, you got to be careful because it can become very, you know, political. And so it, this is greater than just being a political agency. You know, we are not just a social service agency. We are different. We don't take any federal money for that reason. We're a ministry, first and foremost. So, do we have my video ready? Okay, it's a little bit long, but I think it's worth it. So. Our mission here at Hannah's Home is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to single pregnant women who are in crisis. And what we do is we bring them into a home environment. We have a culture here that each woman feels loved and cared for as an individual and belongs. And we teach her the things that she needs to know in order to heal from the things that have broken her. We get her ready to be a mom and teach her, you know, everything that she needs to know to be successful in parenting. Whatever that journey looks like for her, we just come alongside her and care for her and get her ready to be independent.
The toughest thing I've ever went through would be addiction. I was a heroin addict. I was a fentanyl user, a meth user, everything. So I recommended to go to Park, which is a sober living facility that the courthouse runs. The counselor there, I started just confessing about like what I was hearing and what I was experiencing at that time. I admit the hearing voices, and then they sent me to a psychiatrist. They were like, okay, well, I want to get you like examined. So they pink slipped me for 72 hours, and then I had nobody to take Sophia. So like the child services came involved and took her away from me. I got out and I was, you know, looking for my daughter. Like I thought I could just have her back. I had to go through this whole circle of, am I responsible enough? Am I going to be reliable enough to be her mother? And then having to go to a facility to have that mother-daughter visitation was ridiculous. I didn't feel like that was necessary. At the beginning, I felt like, why talk to anybody when they took my daughter away? How can I say how I feel if you're going to use it against me?
Prior to Hannah's Home, I want to say it started in the year 2021. I was in a transition from an unhealthy relationship. I left Tori's dad pregnant and wanted to better my life, but in order to do that, I was homeless. I lived out of my car. All I had was my daughter, Victoria. I was always someone who was hurt or it was really hard, and all because I didn't know my worth.
Before I got here, I was losing faith. I didn't believe in anything, really. I was starting to disbelieve. I didn't really know who to trust, and Vicky's like, you gotta trust my staff. I'm like, I don't know how.
The day that I met Anna, she was a very broken young woman and very afraid and not much hope for what her future would look like, even just not being able to sleep in her own room. To watching her learn to do everyday normal tasks and start following through with a case plan that she needed to have Nevaeh and earn Sophia back the same week, and walking with her through not learning to parent one newborn but two children, a newborn and a one-year-old at the same time.
Now, when I first got my custody back of Sophia, I didn't know what to do. I was like, Vicky, I can't do this. This is too much, because I had a newborn and then almost my one-year-old. I was just like, I can't do this. She's like, you can and you will. If I didn't have that, you know, getting stuck into my head, I don't know what I would do right now. Every day is a new day. Every day is recovery. So if it's not about recovery, then it's not about my life.
Before I knew God, I was really lost. When I came here, I just felt immediately loved. And no matter what mistakes I did that brought me to that situation, they welcomed me with open arms.
When Crystal first moved in, she was extremely scared. She had been living in Tennessee and was homeless. So she came to us and was just really not aware of how much help she needed. And so she was a joy when she moved in, but really for her, she needed to learn that she actually deserved help.
I felt that I didn't deserve it because there's women who actually need help. And I said that to someone here, and they said, well, you were hurt. You've went through trauma in relationships. You've been hurt, abandoned. What makes you any different? Hearing them say that, it put hope and faith in my heart that I can do this. I've been forgiven and found and given a second chance.
We want to teach them that they belong, that they have an identity and who they are and a purpose, and then we want to help them discover that. We work on very practical things such as life skills, cooking and laundry and cleaning, as well as financial education so that they learn to handle their money.
They teach us so many things. Bright courses, it's like a parenting class, and it tells you everything you need to know to grow with your child.
We also offer spiritual care as far as Bible study and daily devotions, and we get them included in churches.
Just everyone who contributes to Hannah's Home, it's outstanding. It's actually incredible.
Well, our staffing is our biggest resource. Staff and volunteers, that's how we do what we do.
It's really phenomenal, and I can say all this, someone else will be like me and say, I don't believe it. But it's true. It really is. And I wouldn't have ever saw myself in this position I am right now if it wasn't for Hannah's Home.
Being here, I can't give up. Like, there's something. I'm not here just to be here.
So our baby bottle campaign is our largest fundraiser of the year. We just ask that each person take home a baby bottle, fill it up with coins or cash or even check, and bring it back. And that is how we provide absolutely everything that we do for these women and babies.
All I can think is, wow, I've come so far. As soon as I came here, I've done better for my life and for my daughter.
So we're expanding our program. We're dividing it into two phases. Phase one, which is our traditional residential living community space. And we're converting the upstairs of the home into four apartments where they will be able to move still in the safe space of this home, but it will incorporate a little bit more independent living. The daycare was just a dream, but when COVID hit and things shut down, as things began to open back up and our moms went back to work, that dream started to become a reality because we wanted to choose for our babies to be safe and healthy and to be able to keep them in the home.
If I didn't have daycare, I wouldn't have been able to start school again. I wouldn't have been nearly able to work. It saved me through a lot of things.
This place helps. Everything, it's just, it's all hands-on, it's all love, it's all care. And they're not just doing things to help the kids, they're doing things to help the moms. Having us feel loved, but knowing how to give love at the same time.
Keep trying. We are so strong as mothers. Not everyone can do what we do. I thought I was never gonna get out of that hole, and I'm on a mountain. I'm standing on a mountain, and by the grace of God, keep praying, because He will answer you.
So Crystal, so this was actually created for our baby bottle campaign, which you are part of. If you want to know what a big impact one little bottle makes, that is, we exist on two fundraisers a year, that baby bottle fundraiser, and we have a benefit dinner in the fall. And that baby bottle fundraiser makes us $100,000 a year. So, but one little bottle of change makes a big difference. And that is about a third of our annual budget right there. Our annual budget is only about $350,000. But that's because we own the land and we own the home. We don't have a mortgage. So we're really blessed by that. This is our 20th year of serving women. We've served over 250 women. And in 2016, when I became the director, was when we started bringing babies back in the home. Before that, we were primarily for minors. And so because of the license we held, we weren't able to have the babies and mommies in the home at the same time. And so we changed that because the greater need in the community was for adult women and to have services after those babies were born. So we made a big shift in 2016, and then we're just continuing to shift. Part of the vision was, you know, to get that daycare up and running. Daycares are somewhat struggling right now with staffing, and only having certain amount of staff means you can only have a certain amount of people. So our moms were struggling with finding daycare and having stable daycare so that they could maintain their jobs. So for example, Crystal, who is now not living in the home, she has her own apartment. She is 70% done with her degree at Lakeland. And she is working, and she is still utilizing our daycare, so they can even, as alumni moms, still. The vision of that was to keep them connected in some way. So having still a connection to the home through bringing that baby every day for childcare. I don't know. This is a big thing that happened last year, about a year ago now. There was a nonprofit Shark Tank event. Are you familiar with the show Shark Tank? Okay, so Damon John, right? That's his name. Yes. So they had a Shark Tank show for nonprofits, and it was over five states, and they were only selecting five nonprofits over five states. And it was one of those things that was almost too big. I'm like, oh, this is too good to be true. I almost deleted the email when I got it. But my grant writer said, hey, what would you propose? What project would you want to propose for this show if you did it? And I said, well, let's do the apartment project. Thinking we're 10 years away from the vision of having apartments in the home. So right now we can house six moms and their families. And this would, converting the upstairs of the home to four apartments would enable us to work with 10 moms, allowing our moms to stay with us longer, okay? And so it's a huge expense. And I thought, you know, that's at least 10 years down the road. So we submitted a proposal for that. We were selected. So I about fell out of my chair. I met Damon John. It was awesome, and I won. Wow. And so that we won $10,000 for winning that, which isn't even a millimeter of what we need. But by the end of the weekend, we had raised $130,000 for the apartment project, and so it really just you know, set in motion. It was clear that the Lord wants these apartments sooner than we had even envisioned them becoming a reality. And so that is what we're doing. Everything from upstairs of the home, which used to be used for where we housed all the donations that we used to give them everything they need. And it was an education place and a hobby, you know, floor. All of that has moved out. We have approved architectural plans. We're pretty much done bidding for trades. We've hired a general contractor. So it's in motion. Yeah. It's not quite funded, so it's on our website. You can follow the project on our website. We have a particular page on our website to follow the timeline of it and how we're doing. So that's really exciting. So that's phase two. It was a dream when I was here last time. It's happening. And so, like, take a mom like Crystal, okay? She had been with us over a year. She was ready for some independence, but, you know, so we moved her out. That's the best we can do right now. So our program is about, at tops, 18 months right now. But now she's completely independent. This will give them a transition. So they will move upstairs where they will have more independence, but still have, you know, they don't have to transport their baby to daycare. They will still have access to our caseworker and social worker and our counselor all on site. So they still have, you know, the support that they need right there and, you know, not the full cost of rent and you know what it's like to be independent, you know, so without all of that. So hopefully long-term, you know, better long-term outcomes for us. Phase three is we have 6 acres of property. That's beautiful in Menor, over by the lake. And we're hoping to put up homes in the back and a freestanding daycare because right now we can only have 7 babies in there at one time. Just because of the space in the home, it limits us. So if we can have a freestanding daycare, we can have, you know, an infant room, a toddler room, preschool room. So that's the vision.
Amen.
Yeah. I don't know how long I have or how long I've taken. So do you want, last time we did questions, do you want me to do that or no? Yeah? Okay. Yeah? Do you have questions for me? Yeah, that's a really good question. I should know that answer to that. I am not the treasurer. I think we're at about $150,000 right now. So we won't know that until we have all the trade bid, all the bids in for the trades. So I'm guessing it's over $200,000 though, easily, especially with the way all of that is right now and the cost of everything. But you know, we're like, companies are donating, like Menor Lumber is donating lumber and, you know, things like that. So yeah, Gem Construction. Yeah, so we're really excited about that too. So, yeah,
you have a banquet coming up.
We do.
Are the seats all filled now?
Probably not. Do you want a seat? Oh, you have one. Okay.
I was going to ask you to comment on that.
Yeah.
Donations there if we
left. Absolutely. That's what it's for. Yeah. Yeah. What were you hoping I would comment on?
All right. Well, we have purchased a table there, mm-hmm. and I think you're 10 people at a table, I think, is what you're aiming for. So Christ Community Church has a table there. We're looking for 10 people to go get a meal and support, yeah, and possibly write a check.
Yeah.
So consider that.
Yeah, the way we try to make this as easy as possible, we work on very few people. We have a very small staff. So we do a lot of big things with very little people and resources. But so the way what we do, how we run this benefit dinner is we have, well, it's at the Menor Yacht Club this year, so we're a little bit limited in space. So we can only have 15 tables. We ask a table host to be in charge of inviting people. Our goal is to make $50,000 that night. So each table is tasked with bringing in $5,000. So that's how that works. So if you are interested in being a table host, feel free to let me know. Yeah, it is October 20th. Yeah. So we're going to walk through 20 years of what Hannah's home has looked like that night. So, yeah. Other questions?
How many women do you currently have housed there now?
So we have 3 women right now. Intake has been very crazy ever since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. We've taken about 50 calls from that time, yes, with very strange circumstances. And so we are not a shelter. Although some organizations consider us a shelter, we actually are not quite, because we don't, if somebody calls and says, I need a bed today, we don't do that. Okay, we have a long intake process because we're looking for transformational change. So we need to hear that she wants help and she wants to change. Okay, and even in our intake process, it doesn't always go the way we hope, and she doesn't make it. So that's kind of why that looks like that. But we interviewed, it's neat to be a part of their story. I tell them all the time, we are just a small part of your story, okay, and what God's doing in your life. And, you know, the way women tend to come to us, you know, I just interviewed a mom on Thursday. She's a recovering addict, but she landed in Kentucky at a sober living home. But to hear her say, she's from this area, you know, and how she found us is neat. But to hear her say, I know I can't trust myself and I need help from outside of myself so that when I'm having a bad day, I can be guided. I'm like, I will take you. You know, that's what we need to hear. Yeah. Does that... Amen. Yeah. That's. They can stay. Well, so we don't actually have a time frame that they have to be out. They get very comfortable. Most of the time, what we hear within a couple weeks of them being with us, they've never felt like they've been a part of a family or a place where they belong. And so they very much grasp on to what we're offering. And then you have to kind of convince them, like, at some point you need to not be here, you know? they it's like, do you envision ever not being here? And they're like, no, it's somewhere out in the future, you know? So we have to nurture, you know, that we're just a small part and we're just, you know, of your life. Yeah, yeah. That's the goal. Amen, yeah. That's the goal. Yes, that's a big part of why we need longer time period too. You know, so phase one, the way it works with, you know, the phase one of the home, we take them to church, okay? Well, what we want them to experience is a community of a church. So they're learning how to live in a community of a small home. That's a first for them. But we want them to experience being a part of a community of a church. Phase two, they have to choose it. Okay, where are you going to go to church? What church do you want? Find one that fits for you and what you want that to look like for your family. So we can see that's kind of the support that they'll have in with the apartments. Yeah, so they'll still have to go to church, but they'll be able to go on their own.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a lady that came and then decided that it wasn't for her and she actually had to leave? You had to let her go?
That happens quite often.
It does?
Yeah, oh yeah. We do. So they're just different enough. They're the medical side of it. So they are, we are considered a frontline ministry, in the pro-life work, but they, most of our women have chosen life by the time they call us. Not always. And we have a different procedure for intake if she is abortion minded, but most of our moms have chosen life. So you know where Ivy comes in is they are that legitimate front line of they're getting calls of women looking for an abortion. So we don't offer any kind of medical care, ultrasounds or anything like that. We come in, so they call us when they have a woman that needs our services. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Vicki. Oh. I'm sorry. Can you comment on practical ways we as believers could assist and volunteer? What type of needs do you have that besides just finances?
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of what we do are volunteers. Well, COVID wiped out our volunteer base. So it's been very hard to rebuild that. But everything from childcare to if you have a heart or an interest in actually working with the moms, we have what's called a level 2 volunteer. So, you know, we have a house director and her job is basically to help our moms navigate through their day. You know, so if we have 6 women, she could be doing six different things and, you know, making sure they're at different places. So we rely on volunteers to be drivers to appointments and work and all of those things. We need volunteers to, they take parent pregnancy and parenting classes, but we like them to sit by a person to walk through what did you learn from that, what are you taking away from that. Yeah, it's like a mentor. Mentoring position is a level two volunteer, but we have volunteers do, if you aren't interested in really being hands-on with the moms, we have a lot that happens behind the scenes, even just in managing all of the donations. Everything needs washed when it comes in and sorted, and all kinds of administrative things. So, yeah, does that help? What? So we do, well, not paid staff, but we, especially with the apartment project, there's a lot more men around than ever have been in the construction. But men can, we have a 16,000 square foot facility that they put a woman in charge of that I don't know how to do a thing, you know. So we need, you know, handymen, cars, you know, those kind of things. Men do a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You had a question back here.
Yes.
Oh, volunteering. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot to do. I can't, it's hard to summarize it all in one. 18. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought you were going to ask for the moms. So we cannot have a mom that's under 18 live in the home, but we have a non-residential program that we have. We actually have a 17-year-old in right now, so she can come and be a part of our program. She just can't live there. So... Anything else?
I have one.
Yeah.
Is it best to call to volunteer or to show up personally?
No, don't just show up, please. if you go onto our website, so you could call and ask for, Charisse is my volunteer coordinator, or you could go right on our website and it says ways to help and you can click on volunteering. You could submit a volunteer application. It's pretty simple, and she will get right in contact with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just wanted to comment. Maybe a lot of people don't know this or haven't been involved in collecting at all, but for many, many years, I, as a sidewalk counselor, could send abortion-minded women to places that would be with them during the pregnancy, give them all that medical care like Ivy does, but then there was nothing afterwards. Mm-hmm. So this really is a medicine. This mm-hmm. is what... This is something I have been praying would happen for decades, you know, because then after the pregnancy, what happens, you know, what, how does she immediately get on her feet with a newborn baby? Now she needs that, exactly what you're doing, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Anything else?
I think you covered it.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you for supporting us and having me, and yeah. We'll see you at the dinner, right?
If you could stay up front here, Vicki, because as we close, you can wait here because I
want
to...
Where do you want me?
Down there.
Okay.
Because we are going to pray for you also, and I think that's important. Each time I've gone to visit Vicki and share a little bit, I realize, having been involved with alternative pregnancy services and been a board member there for 13 years when we founded it, it really is, when we use the term frontline ministry, and I sense that every time I'm there, I see the war weariness on you and the staff. They're really under a lot of pressure, and they need the Christian community's support. And although finances are critically important, and I get that, but they also need our prayers and our encouragement. So I'm going to share this word from Ephesians, and then we're going to pray. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. This is important. It's so easy for us to read through that and not contemplate that, but it's the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. This is the staying power for ministries and for Christians and frontline ministry, the love of Christ, even more than knowledge. And that's why we want to be linked with ministries that are gospel-centered. They're not only helping in practical ways, and that is so important, but they're pointing these women and children to Jesus Christ, the answer, the purpose for life. And I think that's so important. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I would like Betty and my wife Karen, if you could come forward, and maybe a few of the gentlemen, would you join me as we lay hands on Vicki and just pray for God's blessing, protection, encouragement, and a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. She also is a mother. Her wonderful son, who I've seen running around in the premise there, he is a support for his mom. And so let's just take a time to pray, if anyone would like to, and then I'll close. Ready? Okay.
Lord, we thank you so much for this answer to decades of prayer, wanting to know how we can disciple the young mothers after they've had their baby, how to show them both practically and spiritually how to live for you and how to do the day-to-day of mothers. It's just an answer to decades of prayer. And so, Lord, I just pray you would richly bless Hannah's home spiritually, financially, everything, Lord, that you would put a hedge of protection around Vicki and the staff, a shield that would quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, that you would bless and protect their families and their health and their finances, and that you would just fill them with your spirit as they're ministering to these girls, and that your Holy Spirit would continue to be there and draw these young women to Christ, and their children would not be lost, that their children would not be lost, that all of them would come to salvation, Lord. I just ask for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in Hannah's home. In Jesus' name.
Lord, we just, in the laying on of hands, we speak a blessing upon Vicki, upon the ministry that she represents, Hannah's home. We pray, Lord God, that you would continue to lead and guide them. I pray that they would always look to you for answers and solution first. I pray for just a spirit of encouragement to be upon Vicki and her staff as she leads. I'm sure that she, like many pastors and myself, we feel like we're not adequate for this job. We don't know what to do. We often get discouraged. And we just pray, Lord, that you would send encouragers, a community of believers to surround her and the staff. And you've reminded us in your word that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in this dark world, this age. So, Lord, go before us. Make us strong and courageous. Though we often feel very feeble and weak, Lord, you excel in using men and women like that. We humble ourselves before you. We cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. And we thank you for our sister. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.